you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Dogs are the best kinds of teachers because they teach us just by being themselves. No artifice, no theories. They pass on wisdom just by being. Our guest today, Hirsch Wilson, refers to himself and his family as dog-centric. For many decades, he's picked up advice and wisdom by the inclusion of dogs as part of his family and passes on this most informed advice. When in doubt, walk your dog. Canine companions have much to teach us if we take the time to pay attention and open ourselves up enough to listen and learn. And this is the subject we'll be exploring with our guest, Hirsch Wilson. Hirsch Wilson is an organizational consultant, pilot, former professional dancer, newspaper columnist, and volunteer firefighter. He lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, with his wife, Lori, a daughter, and two dogs, a Great Pyrenees and a Chihuahua Terrier mix. He's the author of Play to Win, Choosing Growth Over Fear in Work and Life, Firefighter Zen, A Field Guide to Thriving in Tough Times, and Dog Lessons, Learning the Important Stuff from Our Best Friends. Join us for the next hour as we highlight the lessons that dogs have to teach us with our guest, Hirsch Wilson. I'm speaking with Hirsch from his home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Hirsch, welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. It's so great to have you on again. I know we talked about the lessons of being a firefighter, and now here we are talking about dogs. Oh, goody. I'm so excited. I'd love for you to share with us. You don't talk about having us being owners of our dogs or our pets. You talk about being guardians. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Sure. So I think the word owner to me has a lot of connotations that are negative. I think, for example, when you own something, you have control over it, which means I can do anything I want with something I own. If I own a car, if I don't like the car, I can sell the car. If I don't like the car, I can get rid of the car. And I just don't think that applies to dogs. Dogs are sentient beings. And when a being is sentient, you're not allowed to do anything you choose to an animal. So I choose the word guardian because guardian implies a couple of things. Guardian implies that my responsibility is to take care of the animal, to keep them safe, to make sure they have a growthful life. And it also means that I have responsibility. If I'm tired of an animal, I can't get rid of it or turn it into a shelter. I need to make a commitment for that entire animal's life. And I think that's to me what guardian means. And that's why I so strongly advise using that word. It's just words are important. And I think how we think about our animals is important.
Let's talk about how long dogs have been companions to humans. I mean, I looked it up and I think they turn from wolves to dogs. It was like 130,000 years ago. Does that sound about correct?
It really depends on who you talk to. Some say 20,000 years, some say 40, and some go way back to over 100,000 years. But I think the point is that for millennia after millennia, we've been partners with dogs. We have co-evolved with dogs. And by that I mean is that dogs have learned to trust us and to need us, and we have learned to trust them and need them. We often talk about dogs being our best friends, but I think it's much deeper than that. Dogs are the first species that we really brought into our homes. We have co-evolved. We depend on each other. And I often talk about how that because of that long evolutionary history, sometime way back in history, a proto-dog or a dog might have saved a small tribe's life, kept away predators, kept away invaders, and those might be distant relatives of yourself. So in a lot of ways, dogs are maybe the reason you're still here. There was a researcher who said that dogs were one of the reasons we out-competed against Neanderthals, that we had dogs, Homo sapiens had dogs, and Neanderthals didn't. So this goes way back. And again, it might be one of the reasons that we're still here today is because we had dogs way back in our history.
Wow. I must tell our listeners that in reading your book, Dog Lessons, I cried, and I counted up how many times I cried. I cried 7 times as I was reading the book. And one of the times was when I read about they dug up some remains that were 40,000 years old, and it was a man and a woman and 2 dogs. And the thing that made me cry was her hand was on the dog, one of the dog's head.
Right. It's a remarkable story. And I think the researcher who was there said, there must be a story there. And it just goes to our continued history with how important dogs have been with us. Sometimes we think that it's just a modern thing that has occurred, that we're close to our pets and close to our dogs and because we're a comfortable society. But the fact is it goes back years and years and years. And one of my favorite stories is of Ulysses. And when he came home from the Peloponnesian Wars, he walked in, and his dog Argos, who was 20 years old at the time, was bedraggled, laying on the floor. And Ulysses couldn't allow himself to be seen because all the suitors for his wife, Penelope, were there and wanted to kill him. So he had to sneak in, pretend to be somebody else. But Argos recognized him, and he stood up on shaky legs and went up and tried to greet him. But Ulysses couldn't recognize him. Couldn't pay attention to him because he would give him away. But the legend has it is that Ulysses shed a tear for his dog Argos. And then after that passed, Argos knew Ulysses was safe and home, and then he died. And it just goes to even back thousands and thousands of years ago, they understood how important dogs were and how important that relationship was.
Well, you tell that story in the book, too, and that was one of the places where I cried, and I'm crying right now again. Yeah. It just makes me tear up at how loyal they are and how what is it about? I'm asking that question, and I think you ask it, too. Why it brings us to tears. I don't cry about human beings like I cry about animals and it's most especially dogs for some reason. Do you have any idea what that's about?
I have a couple of suppositions. One is that when we talk about love, the biochemistry of love, it's about oxytocin. And there's been a lot of studies done that measure oxytocin levels in humans and in dogs. And our oxytocin levels, when a dog comes, you haven't seen a dog for a while, and a dog comes in and sees you, their oxytocin levels go up. And our oxytocin levels go up. And then they've done fMRIs, studying a dog's, an awake dog's brain. And they noticed that the same brain circuitry is used when a human mom sees her baby, right? And the same brain circuitry is lit up. So there's all kinds of biochemical reasons why we have that attraction. I think next is we're both bonding animals, humans and dogs. We both evolved to belong in small tribes, small clans, and to be codependent on our tribe or our clan. And so what we learn from dogs is that we're very similar in that way, that we need companionship, we need human companionship and dog companionship, and dogs need to be with us. So there's a lot of reasons why we have that attraction. And of course, because we have that attraction, when there's loss, when a dog dies or like a person dies, it causes us to grieve, which is the natural, normal thing. No one should tell you not to grieve for a dog. No one should say it's just a dog. It's a tragedy, and it affects us deeply. So many people have said the same thing, that when they're more affected when a dog dies or when they lost their dog than some people. And I think it's one of those things that we're not supposed to say, but it's true.
It is true. It is true. And I'm just wondering if it's about the vulnerability that dogs are more at effect of humankind. Right. Therefore, it just like they're victims. They can be victimized by us. And right. It just breaks my heart. But one of the things you mentioned briefly there is about dogs greeting us. And there's nothing better than to come home. And boy, if you have a dog, that dog just greets us with such enthusiasm. Describe that moment, what that's like.
I think, so when our dogs, when we used to have Bernese Mountain Dogs, who are big and lovable and kind of crazy, and we would come home and our dogs would bring toys to the door. They'd come back and bring their television remote. They were just so glad to see us. They'd jump up on us. They were just so happy. And I think that is, I mean, it's just undiluted love, right? They just want to be there with you. The number one most important thing is to be together. So when we come home after an absence, they just show that. And that's, I think, it is what you said. It's like you can have a bad day, you can be stressful, but being there with a dog and having a dog greet you just changes everything.
Oh, doesn't it? Changes everything. I'm here with Hirsch Wilson, and he's the author of Dog Lessons, Learning the Important Stuff from Our Best Friends. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Thank you.
I'm here with Hirsch Wilson, and if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, and he has some wonderful blogs there for you to read and keep up with, and his blog is hirschwilson.com, and he spells his first name H-E-R-S-C-H. HirschWilson.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. And we're talking about that greeting in the morning and their enthusiasm, and they really become family members. And as you say, when we come home, I think we also need to talk about how long we leave our dog companions alone. I was talking with our engineer, Lou Judson, just before the program, and he was talking about a neighbor who just got a brand new puppy. And he said that the puppy was whining outside, like from like 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night, whining and whining. And it just reminded me of what you have to say about recognizing, especially a puppy, how long we can leave it alone.
Right. I think we've learned that lesson the hard way.
Have you?
Yes. So we know that we can. So the fact is, when you have a dog in your life, you can't take it for granted. It's not a toy. You have to restructure your life a little bit in order to keep a pet healthy and happy. So we know that we can leave our dogs for, and they're grown up, but they're for a maximum of maybe 4 hours before there's not going to be consequences. We had German Shepherds a long time ago, and we left them with a house sitter who worked 9 to 5. And so she came home at work after work at 5 o'clock, and our couch was torn up. There was wallpaper torn down, pillows scattered all over the floor. And it was just that the German Shepherd, one was only 6 months old, got frustrated and they act out. So, you know, it looked like we had been robbed, but it was just a German Shepherd acting out. So I think what one of the lessons you learn is that not everyone can have a dog. You have to have a schedule, and you have to have the time and attention to pay to a dog in order to really be a healthy guardian.
Well, that's such an important point, because if you really want to have a dog, it's also a lifetime commitment. It's
lifetime,
not just
commitment.
You have to figure out, hey, this is a long-term relationship.
Yep, absolutely. And I think I volunteer occasionally at the Santa Fe Humane Society, and I think one of the saddest things is that when people bring their older dogs to the shelter because they can't deal with them because the dogs are ill, or they just don't have time to take care of them anymore. And I think we have to have a revolution in thinking about how we care for animals. That it is a lifetime commitment, and it can be sad at the end, but nothing is worse than taking an elderly dog to the shelter because you just can't deal with it anymore.
Oh, I know. That's very sad. That's another part of the conversation I want to have with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's suppose we commit to a dog, but our income is limited, especially like people on a fixed income, mm-hmm. like seniors, or, for example, I have close friends, and out of them, three of them recently had to spend incredible amounts of money mm-hmm. to have the teeth fixed of their older dogs.
Mm-hmm.
One spent $3,500.
Wow.
All of her life savings, the rest of her life savings for her dog, her 18-year-old dog. Another spent $7,000 on her dog for her teeth. And a third is trying to decide how she can come up with $2,700. Okay, so the cost of veterinarian care, and also the new procedures that are available now. It's expensive. Hirsch, for me, I would love to have a dog. I really would. But I don't think I can afford it when I look at those sorts of statistics.
I would say a couple things. Absolutely, that's true. And I think veterinary care has gotten much more sophisticated. So remember, 20 years ago, those dogs would just been euthanized. They were put down. Now we have the ability, the veterinary care ability, to take care of those dogs. And so dogs are living longer. That's just what's going on. I think what's also happening is you can get health insurance for your dog, right? And it's not cheap, but it's much less than $7,000 or $3,500 of outlay for one procedure. So like both our dogs have health insurance. And we had a Berner, Bernese Mountain Dog, who had eye cancer, who had a fractured hip a couple times, and ended up having stomach cancer. And, you know, we're fortunate to be kind of middle class, but we had health insurance for the dog, so it didn't cost us that much. But I think you're right. I think again, it goes back to it is a commitment that you have to think about, right? You have to understand, can I financially, can I emotionally, can I work-wise have a dog in my life? And sometimes the answer is no.
Right. That gives me heart. Thank you. Because when you first get a dog, you don't wait too long until it needs something.
Right.
And you inquire about insurance right then and see if you can afford that. That you put that into the equation right away.
Exactly.
That's a good idea. Exactly. I hadn't thought about that. Thank you.
Sure.
I may be a guardian of a dog yet. We'll see.
Yeah.
One thing that I love, I'm not an early riser, but I love it that dogs and even cats can get us up in the morning with a kind of exuberance and enthusiasm. Say something about that.
Well, all our dogs, whether they were German Shepherds long ago or current dogs, they're on our bed at 7 o'clock every morning, just wanting us to get up and get out of the day, take a walk, get fed, and they're ready to go. I am not ready to go. But having a Chihuahua Terrier mix lick your face and just like try to you know, bite your hands just to get you up, and a great Pyrenees sitting on you in the morning is motivation to get up. So that's when we talk about dogs run the schedule of the house, because they know when we have to get up, they know when we have to take a walk, they know when they're supposed to get fed, and at night. 9 o'clock at night, they're on the couch between us as we watch television, falling asleep. So they run the schedule.
You describe, these Bernese Mountain Dogs, they are not small. They, weigh 130 pounds?
130 pounds,
and
yeah.
They act like they're lap dogs.
Yes, exactly. they think they're lap dogs, for sure.
But how about children and dogs? I grew up with dogs. That's why I have such a love for them. And they're just like, they were companions for me. I mean, truly. And you talk about how they were for you too growing up. So what about children and dogs? What do you have to say about the benefit of dogs with children?
I think it is a profound relationship for a child to have a dog. It teaches so much. Children are not necessarily the most empathic people in the world. And having a dog that they care for teaches them empathy, teaches them responsibility, teaches them about freedom. For me, growing up with a dog, once my mom kind of gave me permission, Shawnee, our German Shepherd at the time, and I were gone all summer together. We were down on the river in the woods, and we would spend all day, just Shawnee and I, roaming around, and Shawnee led the way. Because I think the other thing we'll talk about later is dogs are so innately curious that she would lead me to things that I couldn't see. She would lead me to things that I would just walk over and pass by. And we would spend most of our summers together. My dad used to complain that by the end of summer, we were wild animals, all of us, because all we did was come home for dinner, the dogs and I.
Well, you were very lucky because yep. That was a kind of different time, and you lived in a rural area, as did I, and it was like that. However, you know, even walking a dog in an urban setting, still they can teach us so much about being curious about the natural life that's all around us.
Absolutely. I think, you know, part of it, I mean, you have to step back and say we've become a much more urbanized, you know, population. We spend a lot of time on the couch. We don't get out a lot. And I think a dog is so powerfully driven to get outside and walk. It's probably the most important thing to them in the day, other than getting fed and getting treats. And so just following that impulse of a dog, I say in the book that whenever you're uncertain or you don't know what to do, take your dog for a walk. And by the end of the walk, you'll know if what you're worried about is either an inconvenience or a real tragedy. And I think one of the most important lessons that dogs teach us is to get outside. To get outside of your apartment, get outside of your house. And even if it's you go to a city park or just around the block, just getting outside is vitally important to not only a dog's health, but to your health. We're born to be outside. We evolved to be outside. We evolved to walk. We evolved to run, right? And our dogs teach us that and can keep us motivated to do that.
Maybe it was one of your blogs that I read where it's like the dog is like we read the newspaper daily on their walk. They're reading the news all the time. Oh, who showed up yesterday? And what's the news of this one? And it goes on and on. It's just wonderful. I just love it that it's just fine the way that they stop and read the news.
Right.
And be patient with that.
Right.
So I want to remind our listeners, I'm here with Hirsch Wilson, and he is the author of Firefighter Zen. That's one of his books, and which I love. And the other one is Dog Lessons, Learning the Important Stuff from Our Best Friends. And if you want to know about his work, go to his website, HirschWilson.com, spells his name H-E-R-S-C-H, HirschWilson.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Hirsch Wilson, and we're talking about the joys of having a dog, or I'll say cat, for all of those cat people. I mean, I know that there are something like 65 million